Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Charlie Kaufman hasn't made a lot of movies, but the ones he's made tend to be cult favorites and critical darlings. Movies like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Being John Malkovich. So a new Charlie Kaufman movie is a bit of an event. Now, the earlier movies had real people in them, but the one that's just come out, Anomalisa, is different. It's filmed entirely in stop-motion animation with puppets. He and his co-director, Duke Johnson, recently met up with the New Yorker's Tad Friend, and they went to the Whitney Museum of American Art here in New York, which, as it happens, maybe wasn't such a great idea.
You're blowing out someone's eardrums now.
He said be natural. Act like you normally act.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you guys been to this new Whitney?
No.
No, me neither.
Whitney!
We're in the wrong business. Why is that? You know, people that don't really understand modern art. Who decides which of these works of art is worthy enough to be put in a museum and admired? Is it like by committee? Is it an individual? Well, Charlie gets one vote, usually.
I get one vote, yeah.
Yeah.
I was out this day.
I have to do my little thing, which is to say I'm Tad Friend. I'm here with Charlie Kaufman, the writer of Anomalisa, and Duke Johnson, the director.
We directed it together.
Let me do it again. I'm Tad Friend. I'm here with Charlie Kaufman, the writer and director, and Duke Johnson, the other director. Okay, just sort of nodding.
There's got to be a better way.
Charlie Kaufman and Duke Johnson, the directors.
Yeah, that's good.
One of them is the writer.
Charlie.
That kind of limps.
Yeah. We've got to spend a little more time on this. Anyway, and the creators of the new film, Anomalisa.
That doesn't work so well for me.
Okay, and Charlie also wrote it. He wants it to be known. Probably won't be speaking to each other after this time in the Whitney. I'm Tad Friend, a staff writer here at the magazine. Anomalisa is a stop-motion animation film about spending a night in a Cincinnati hotel room, drunk and alone, and trying for a stab at romance. Like a lot of Charlie Kaufman's work, including Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Adaptation, it's also about the sort of unquantifiable mystery of being a human being. Well, I guess one of the things I was curious about is why stop-motion animation for that film?
At first, it was sort of an accident. My friend Dino Stamatopoulos had seen the play in 2005, and he really liked it.
Right. It was a radio play.
It was a staged radio play. Yeah, and so...
With sound effects.
Yes, and Carter Burwell conducting musicians with his score. Dino had seen the play, and he liked the play. So they came to me with the idea of stop motion, because that's what they do. Ultimately, I think it ended up being the right choice for it.
Dino and I had been working in stop-motion animated television comedy, adult comedy. We'd always wanted to take the medium of stop-motion and use it to tell emotionally authentic stories.
Every single thing you see in stop-motion is a choice. You know, every finger movement of a character is... So you're starting to see sort of this... whittling down of human movement or something into its most essential version, maybe. And then I think there was also this sort of dreamlike quality that came with it, which fit with the story.
Right. And the handmade aspect of it adds a soulfulness, a sense of life beyond what you're looking at, you know?
The influence of the animators.
Yeah,
right.
You can see that, and we're very careful to keep that in the movie. Basically where the animators are touching the thing and you've got little fabric moves, you've got hair moving and stuff like that.
It's the brush strokes. Every time they touch it, the impressions of their fingers leave some sort of impact.
Right.
And you feel that.
You do, and I was thinking like there's something about the way Michael Stone, the main character, kind of flops on the bed that if you saw an actor doing that, it would seem like just a movement that he happened to. But in this case, it seems like some existential, you know, beached whale kind of giving up, throwing himself into the waves. I don't even know.
Because I think you know in some level as an audience member that was planned out, that it's not an accident. It's not a choice in the moment by an actor or one of 50 takes. It's like from the moment of the genesis of this movie, moments were built into this happens here, this happens here.
Right.
There's a lot of thought that goes into that, right? Because, like, him falling back on the bed has to be rigged with washers to make it go down in the shape of his body, and that didn't quite work. He doesn't really bend like a human, so he's kind of hard laying on this bed that's curved in, so we actually had to, like, animate the comforter.
Whereas it's 3 minutes and you're shooting with live actors.
Yeah.
It's like, could you flop a little harder? Okay, done.
3 minutes and you've done it 20 times.
Right.
Yeah.
More flopping, less flopping.
Yeah.
More anxious flopping. You're talking about how he's not quite human in his body. Did you guys discuss the uncanny valley aspect of it? And
a lot, yeah.
And the idea that at a certain point, if something looks human but not quite human, it freaks us out, whereas something that looks totally robotic doesn't bother us. Something that looks human doesn't bother us, but something in the middle does. Did you want to get into the uncanny valley?
We didn't, and we worked really hard to avoid it. We put a lot of attention toward the eyes. They're always active in this thing, and they're very articulated. And then the thing, you know, the feeling of the animator's presence, the imperfection of the movement, that sort of lessens or tempers that uncanny valley thing.
Should we keep wandering?
Yeah.
Do you guys have thoughts of doing another stop motion?
Yeah, we'd love to. If this works, you know, if this makes any kind of commercial sense,
right,
and then someone wants to
invest. Does it make commercial sense? What's your sense of whether it makes
commercial
sense? I have
no idea. We don't know. I mean, you know, it's really
weird. No one's
really
done this before, right? It's usually sort of Wallace and Gromit.
No, it's R-rated. Like, it's R-rated. And so, is there an audience?
The sex is kind of like...
Sex is good.
Sex is amazing for, you know, these puppets.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations, Duke.
Thank you.
That is the best puppet sex I have seen.
Thank you. Well, we did it together.
Right.
We, within our studio, have talked about, if we do another one, let's make it a little more broad, appeal to a broader audience, which is kind of sad, but...
At your studio or at Paramount?
My studio.
In response to Anomalisa?
Yes, yeah. Because Anomalisa literally almost destroyed the studio multiple times because it was like...
Cost $10 million or because it took so long?
It cost about $8 million, I think.
Took up all their studio space.
The whole studio,
years.
The whole building for 2 years, and they're not making any profit at all.
Right.
We loved this experience. We're happy with the film, the way that it came out. We're happy with the way that it's being received. But if we had to do it again exactly in this process, it would be difficult to say okay and to dive into 3 more years of like struggling every day, sometimes crying in the parking lot. You know, it's like...
How many crying in the parking lot was there?
Charlie, all the time. You couldn't get him out of the parking lot.
Actually, just this morning. I had to find a parking lot in the city, which was hard.
I know.
Oh, look.
As we walked through the Whitney, Charlie stopped and made his way over to the puppets.
And said, oh, look.
Continuing his obsession with puppets. I wonder if they're real. I don't think they're functional. Real, right? They're not functional.
They don't look functional.
Should I grab one? Well, I mean, they're real things, but they're made to look like marionettes, right?
Ventriloquists,
yeah.
Right. You guys are coming out at the holiday season?
Yes.
Does it seem like a good holiday movie?
Oh, you know, I think it might be. Yeah. I think it might be counterintuitive, but it might be good for the lonely people. I don't know. Maybe not.
If you're lonely at the holidays, go see Anomalisa. That's the...
Yeah.
Do you think lonely people are comforted by seeing other people being lonely?
I think people who feel things that aren't represented in the media feel comforted by seeing themselves represented, even if it's in their pain. I feel that way. If I'm not feeling connected, I don't feel comforted by seeing connected, happy people.
Right.
When I don't feel it's honest, you know.
Is there any representation of happy connectedness that strikes you, does strike you as honest?
Yeah, probably. I have to think about it.
How do you feel at the end of It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, that's not my movie.
That's Charlie Kaufman and Duke Johnson talking about their new film, Anomalisa, with The New Yorker's Tad Friend.